Hey, what's up, AP Lit peeps? Today, I'm here with Ben Pollock, Matt Jager, Brendan Gilbeth, and myself, Samantha Elliott, and we're going to be talking to you about some quotes that we picked from books that we read in class. We're going to relate them to other books that we read and see what the connections are there and how they apply to the other books, and also we're going to draw connections to the real world and how they apply there, so stay tuned!
So for our first topic of discussion, we have a quote from The Things They Carried.
A thing may happen and be a total lie. Another thing may not happen and be truer than truth. Brendan, what do you think about that?
I think it's a very good quote to portray how what the book was about, because it kind of, most of his stories weren't actually true, but they were there to kind of show what war was actually like and what they were actually thinking.
Yeah, I really agree with that. To add on to that, I think when you're dealing with like children and children's books, you have to sometimes lie in a way to help them understand like morals and certain meanings that the book is trying to portray.
Oh yeah, you had that whale story. Can you explain that whale story, Matt?
Yeah. So in Mr. Brisbane's class, we listened to a TED talk about a children's author, and they took a whale and they made it able for kids to write to the whale and to have, it was almost a pen pal. Sort of scenario, and so it was a friend for the kids to write to, even though it wasn't true, but it was the meaning, not the truth.
Yeah, I think that's very similar to someone having to write about war stories, because when you think about war, I mean, as like a civilian, you really can't fully portray war in your head and mentally think, like, feel all the things that veterans have felt when they're on the battlefield. So when Tim O'Brien is writing stories that aren't necessarily true, yet for the reader to understand some of the feelings that he went through, it makes the stories more accurate than ever in a really weird way.
Yeah, so even though it's a lie, it's truer than what the truth would sound like, if that makes sense.
I also think it's interesting because if O'Brien was to just have written exactly what happened for him, I think that would have been really personal and difficult to write. And as a reader, reading it and knowing that some of it is true and some of it is fiction, it's interesting to try and pick apart, you know, what actually did happen and what didn't.
Yeah, it's weird because you have to, like, mentally pick apart the things that Tim O'Brien was trying to actually make accurate and what he wasn't trying to make accurate. Like, did Kiowa really die in the poop field? We will never know, but it's up to us as readers to, like, we get, like, information from these quotes telling us that we have to, like, learn, like, what the author necessarily puts in a text isn't fully what might have actually happened, but something that they're trying to convey.
Yeah, I also think that if he put exactly what happened, we might not have been able to relate to it as well as we did, because a lot of the things he said we were able to relate to, especially because they were in the same sort of age group that we are now.
Alrighty, so let's move on to the next section.
So the next quote that we are hearing is from Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison. So Matt, take it away.
By kicking me into the dark, they made me see the possibility of achieving something greater and more important than I'd ever dreamed.
So I think that what Ralph Ellison is trying to say here is something along the lines of when the rest of society estranges you and you're kind of like at this separate area, this separate, like this lower place, you're able to like fully see, because society becomes transparent above you, exactly what's going on. It's kind of like when you're in the ocean. If you dive all the way to the bottom and you look up, the light like shines all the way through the water and you're able to see all the fish and things above you.
Wow, that was really good. I also think it's tied to the things they carried in the way of when the soldiers are sent off to war, before they leave, they don't necessarily appreciate the lives they have and the people they're with. And then when they get there and they realize everything that they're missing out on, all they want to do is be home. So it's kind of like that old saying, you know, you never really appreciate what you have until it's gone.
I also think it's very relatable to 1984, because Winston's kind of at the bottom in the book. When he kind of starts to rebel, he has nothing really else to live for, and so he can finally see the corruption that is above him. And
yeah, and I think you can relate the quote also to Catcher in the Rye, when Holden, basically Holden kind of, as he calls everyone a phony and struggles at his school and eventually ends up leaving, he's in the darkness 100% and is almost separated from like what a normal society of his age would look like, And as he's, like, he hits rock bottom when he's in that club in the hotel, and when he, like, orders a prostitute, 100%, like, is just in the darkest place he could possibly be, but then ends up throughout that experience, like, as he walks through New York and spends a few days there, and, like, he ends up realizing how much he loves his sister and how much that's actually important to him, and he comes to find what's truly important to him and what sets his heart on fire in that way.
So, like, looking at the quote, being able to realize, like, the greatest things while you're, like, people are doing bad things to you, do you think there's a point at which, like, people can do such bad things to you that you're just so low that you won't even be able to see the greatest possibilities? Like, you're fully estranged?
I really feel like it depends on who you are and how you attack the situation. Because some people might have the strategy of nothing, I guess. When like all these things are happening to you, it's kind of shocking and you're not ready, especially if it's like everyone and you don't have anyone to turn to. Like in Catcher in the Rye, like he didn't really have anyone he could talk to but his sister. But you could also have the mentality of, I have nothing else to lose, I'm just going to go out fighting. And I think that can be really, profitable for someone.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what the Invisible Man did. Like, he went through quite a lot. Like, the Battle Royale, just going through that, most people wouldn't be able to do anything, but he was able to fight and get his voice heard in some way. And that ended up hurting him because of how much society, like, did not want his voice to be heard, but he still fought through it for a greater cause.
Yeah, I really think it's about your attitude, like, coming out of the situation, like, how you're going to deal with it.
And I think that's why Holden did have such a rough time, because he didn't even try to confide in anyone, and he just made the mental decision that he was going to be in the mindset that everyone, the world was out to get him and no one was on his side, and he never really tried to even make his situation better. And I think that all stemmed from when his brother died. I think that really just made him think that the world was really negative.
Alrighty, let's move on.
Our final quote is from the play written by William Shakespeare, Hamlet.
Our quote is a very, very famous one. It's to be or not to be.
So what do you guys think that to be or not to be means?
I really feel like it's such a small quote, but it has such a large meaning, because to be or not to be, you can take it towards anything, like your attitudes towards anything, like to do or not to do something. And in the case of Hamlet, he was deciding whether or not to commit suicide, whether or not his life was, like, worth living.
And he was kind of juggling the idea of what's worse, like, living out this life where I have to deal with a father who, like, killed my real father and is kind of, like, tainting my mother, like, or is the unknowns of death much worse, like, not knowing what's going to happen to you afterwards.
Yeah, and you also have to take into account that he believed, like, firmly believed that if he killed himself, he was going to hell. So he was balancing going to hell or staying in the life he was, which kind of like portrays that he believed his life was a living hell.
Yeah, so most of our books that we read, they had questions like, should I do this or should I not? Like, with the things they carried, it was like, should I save Kaiwa in the poop field? Or with Norman Bowker, if he should kill himself or just keep on driving around the lake and talking to people.
Yeah, and I think in 1984 we can see this action versus inaction throughout the whole entire book, when Winston finds out that he's not the only person that wants to rebel against the party, and just trying to decide is the fear of of punishment, and is that greater than just wanting to comply with the rules that are set in their society.
Yeah, and the hard part with all these situations, from the things they carry, 1984 and Hamlet, is that whether or not you act or you don't act, both have a negative connotation to it. Like, something bad happens for either one. So it's finding the bright side and, like, the bright line and determining which one or which action or which non-action is the best to take.
Yeah, it was almost the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that when you put Hamlet in context, like, whether or not he should commit suicide, I think that talk, or that mental talk, did more for him than just deciding whether or not he should, like, kill himself or not. I think that it put him on the right track to doing what he finally was, like, set out to do, which was develop a plan to find, like, if his father was guilty of the murder or not, and act on it.
So throughout doing this podcast for you guys, I think we learned that although every author is trying to convey their own specific message for that book, there are a lot of parallels that we can draw between the books, and they're connected in a lot more ways than they're not. And that's all we have for you today. AP Lit peeps, thanks. And it's Ben, Brendan, Matt, and Sam Elliott signing off one final time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.